The Book of St. John. What a fantastic book we have here in tape for you, for your convenience of studying as you drive or whatever the case might be, in the comforts of your own home. St. John, the writer of Revelation as well as this great book of St. John. John taught in a way that he not only translated the word and interpreted, fully translated the names as well as other things that made this word, this book, so easy to understand, helping the very reader see Christ in his work as God, Savior of the world. This book of John giving you the identity of the Kenites, as well as those events that would transpire in the end generation. That's your generation, beloved. Sharing. We're going to talk about sharing today. Most of all, I want you to think about what God shares with us. You know, now, we as Christians share a great deal together because we're one body, spiritually speaking. But many people seem to forget that He Himself is a part of that body. As a matter of fact, He's the head of it. He's the boss. So we need to pay attention to what He instructs. And with that, we're going to get into His Word. I want you to open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 44. And first I want to show you, when you're sharing, fellowshipping, you want to be careful who you're fellowshipping with. That is to say, what you make yourself a party to. And we're going to start off with a group that parties up the wrong way. Okay, very religious. Oh, very churchy. But they kind of leave part of the contract with our Father. The word we're going sharing in the Greek, which for the Septuagint, or in the Hebrew, you would have kebar, but in the Greek we have kenonos, or koi rather, koinonos. And it means to share with, to be a part of. I mean, to really be in the group. Okay. So we're going to take it in a negative sense starting out. Chapter 44, the great book of Isaiah. Who do you snuggle up to religiously? Think about it. You're supposed to share with your Father, not the word of man, not some tradition. Traditions of men make void the word of God. Don't ever forget that. If you're sharing away from your Father, You've got a destination. I don't care how religious you call yourself, you're in trouble, because you're supposed to share with He who has shared with you, that makes it possible for you to have salvation, to live in His kingdom. Okay, chapter 44, verse 8. A lot of people like to find their own salvation, and He's talking to them here. Verse 8, fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I, emphatic for God, I told thee from that time, and have declared it. Ye are even my witnesses. Is there a God besides me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any. That's God Himself speaking. What He's telling you, there's no other God besides Him, and He's your Savior. So if you were to look somewhere else, if you were to listen to the ways of man, let me tell you how to get religion, brother. God's going to tell you. You listen to man and you're going to be sharing a belief with a group that might not even make it. So don't ever let anyone mislead you into traditions that look so very spicy. Well, you know, you might say, well, how could that happen today? Well, you ever rolled any eggs? You ever chased a bunny? That's sure not our God, and it has nothing to do with our Father. It's real easy to be deceived in this generation. You want to pay attention and share with God. Okay, kabar. Verse 9, take they that make a graven image, are all of them vanity? And their delectable things shall not profit. There's no gain to it. And they are their own witnesses. They see not, nor know that they may be ashamed. They don't have eyes to see, and they don't have ears to hear. Have you ever talked to one of them? Tried to tell them the truth? What did they say to you? Try to share a little witness with them from what God saith? What did they say? Who has, verse 10, who has formed a god or molded a graven image that is profitable for nothing? In other words, who would do that but a fool, is what he's saying in the Hebrew. Only a fool would try to make their own god. What vanity, what emptiness. Verse 11, behold, all his fellows, here's the word we came for in the Hebrew, fellows, partners, religionists, belongs to that group, little church next door. I'm not knocking churches, I'm knocking falsehood. Understand that in false churches, they identify themselves to the wise, okay? His fellows shall be ashamed, and the workmen that are of men, the workmen, they are of men, not of God, in other words. God has nothing to do with it. Let them all be gathered together. Let them stand up. They're just one little group sharing, fellowshipping. Yet they shall fear and they shall be ashamed together. How ashamed they shall be. Do you know what it says in Revelation chapter 9? They'll pray for the mountains to fall on them. They're too ashamed to face the real Christ because they thought they were Christian. The smith, verse 12, the smith with the tongs both worketh in the coals and fashioneth it with hammers and worketh it with the strength of his arms. Yea, he is hungry and his strength faileth and he drinketh no water and is faint. No, God created the whole earth. He didn't faint. God made everything and didn't faint. He put this earth in its present orbit and he didn't get hungry and he didn't faint. Christ fasted 40 days in the wilderness. He didn't faint because he's God. We're man. Don't ever listen to man when man tries to create your religion for you aside from God's word. When he gives you your little, you got to do this and you got to do that, ask him to document it in the word of God. Because God's the judge. He's the one that judges you, and if it doesn't fit his plan of judgment, you're in trouble. Okay? The carpenter stretcheth out his rule. I mean, they can be so precise. He marketh it out with a line. He fitteth it with planes. I mean, he smooths it down, his old rough lumber, and he takes a plane and just smooths it to where it even feels good. And he marketh it out with the compass, and maketh it after the figure of a man, according to the beauty of a man, that it may remain in the house. Just really looking good, you know. Let's all form a religion. We'll have little Bible studies right here in our own house, and let's all fly away. There's a problem with that. It's not biblical. Okay. You got trouble. Or let's talk to people we don't even understand what we're saying. Doesn't that make sense, huh? Okay. Verse 14. Let's get some religion going. 14. He heweth him down cedars and taketh the cypress and the oak with the which he strengtheneth for himself among the trees of the forest. He planteth an ash, and the rain doth nourish it. In other words, God's going to make it grow anyway. Okay. Man thinks he does so very much, but if you ever stop sharing with your father, and that's the subject, and start sharing only with traditions, you got trouble, friend. You drifted and became uprooted from the Word of God, and you're floating free. God created all things, and there's only one Father, only one God, and He is your Father. You're related. It's the closest relative you've got Why would you want to turn on him anyway or pull away from him when he owns everything and you're his child? Doesn't make sense, would it? Only a fool would do that. Verse 15, then shall it be for a man to burn, for he will take thereof and warm himself. Yea, he kindleth it, make good kindling, oh boy, and baketh bread, eats good. Yea, he maketh a god, and worshipeth it. He maketh it a graven image, and falleth down thereto. Takes the same wood and whittles something to worship out of it. Some might say, oh, they don't do that today. Oh, yeah, they don't. Have you ever heard one of these that whittle the wood down and plane it and build a little house they call a church? But they never teach God's word in it, really, chapter by chapter and verse by verse. And they practice many things. And you know, do you know what they will tell you saves them? Their little house, not Christ. This church will save you, and if you don't come to this church, you're probably going to hell. Well, I got some bad news for you. Christ does the saving, and God is the judge and decides. Your father decides who goes to hell, not some group of people. For he is the judge. Man then will take this same kindling, plank. He burneth part thereof in the fire. With part thereof he eateth flesh, he roasteth roast, and is satisfied. Yea, he warmeth himself, and say, ah, I am warm, I have seen the fire, I've seen the light. You probably never run across anybody like that, have you? Okay. Seen the light of what? Well, it's just natural. Yeah, but do you know what? Who created that that's natural? Who is supernatural? Your Father. Don't leave him out of the equation. You start sharing with other beliefs, traditions, and religions and ways, you want to be careful, friend. Let them align with the Word of God, or you better not have anything to do with them. And the residue thereof he maketh a god. Even his graven image he falleth down unto it, and worshipeth it, and prayeth unto it, and saith, deliver me, for thou art God. I am a saved person. Well, which Christ saved you? I mean, which church taught you that you were saved by the true Christ or the fake that's coming first? Okay. You want to be careful, my friend. Salvation is a beautiful thing. And when you share in the body of the true Christ, it's well. But only two churches of the great book of Revelation, chapter 2 and 3, made it. The others didn't know the difference between those of the synagogue of Satan and just people that claim to be religious. It's all right. You don't have to make a stand. Even today in this great nation and the world, they're making a big fuss over the Da Vinci Code, which is a work of man. A movie made by man, making and creating an abomination, saying Christ had an affair with Mary Magdalena, and people applaud. You better be careful, my friend, who you're sharing with. You better be careful who you applaud with. Judgment Day is coming. And it's not a fake God that's going to judge, and it's not the fake Christ that judges. He's the one that is already judged. Do you know about it? Then you really need to get into God's Word if you don't. 18. They have not known nor understood, for he hath shut their eyes that they cannot see, and their hearts that they cannot understand. Ever talk to anybody like that? Eyes are, they see things, they have vision, but they can't see truth. They hear simple truth, and it doesn't fit. They don't have ears to hear. Kind of for their own protection sometimes for the millennium. 19. And none considereth in his mind, his heart, neither is there knowledge nor understanding to say, I have burned part of it in the fire, yea, also I have baked bread upon the coals thereof, I've roasted flesh and eaten it, and shall I make the residue thereof an abomination? Shall I fall down to the stock of a tree? Only an idiot would do that. Okay. Take man's religion and let it beguile him, mislead him. He feedeth on ashes. A deceived heart hath turned him aside, that he cannot deliver his soul, nor say, even ask, is there not a lie in my right hand? Does this all add up? Does it make common sense? I don't know. We got a group of people here listening to something you can't understand, and that makes sense. Who defines sense or clarity or understanding? And yet the whole group shouts, something wrong. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace and clarity and common sense. Remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for thou art my servant. I have formed thee. Thou art my servant, O Israel. Thou shalt not be forgotten of me. And God's not going to forget his children, his people, and all those that are grafted in to that circle by believing upon the true Christ, not the fake. Fake won't get you anywhere. The true Christ. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressors, as a cloud thy sins return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. When you repent, and when he opens your eyes, and when you see, he's going to bless you. 23. Sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord hath done it. Shout, ye lower parts of the earth. Break forth into singing, ye mountains, O forest, and every tree therein. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and glorified himself in Israel. Do you know what this is saying? Open your eyes and your ears. He's saying, I'm going to return, and I'm going to rebuild. I'm going to claim. Now get ready for what a lot of the little wooden buildings say, you're going to fly away. Let's see if God promises that. Let's see if God promises that when he's rebuilding here. Let's find out exactly how it's going to come to pass instead of listening to man, okay, and his traditions. For it's an abomination. When God gathers back, as he's promising here, how does he do it? All you've got to do is read it and listen to him instead of man. Okay. Real simple. Let's see how difficult it is. 24. Fellowship and share with God, not man's traditions. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer. He's what? He's the one that redeems you. Nobody else. No building. No promises. Your Father, Almighty God, and he that formed thee from the womb, he's got his hand on you. I am the Lord that maketh all things, not parts, no cooking, no burning, no housing, all. It's mine. That stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. I didn't need help. I didn't get weak. I'm your Father. Now, why would you want something else? I really don't think you would. You want your Father and the true Son. 25. That frustrates the tokens of the liars and maketh diviners mad and turneth wise men backward and maketh their knowledge foolish. I mean, sometimes ministers of today fit that pretty good. Not good ministers. I love good ministers. I'm talking about fools that mislead God's children. Especially, do you understand how many ministers are saying, go see the Da Vinci Code, it's just fiction. Little children don't recognize it as fiction. You know, they go to movies and television and it becomes a reality in some of them's minds. And it's blasphemy. It is wrong. And Father doesn't like it. So they are frustrated. 26. That confirmeth the word of his servant and performeth the counsel of his messengers, that saith to Jerusalem, thou shalt be inhabited. Not fly away. Not flying you anywhere. My kingdom is going to be established right there where I promised it would be. And you're going to be there with me. So watch your flyaway boys, okay? Making friends, influencing people, but the Word of God is important to me. And to the cities of Judah, you shall be built, and I will raise up the decayed places thereof. And then he goes on and names Cyrus, which was a type of Christ, the forerunner of how it would be in the exact end. Named Cyrus before he was ever born. Showing you God's in control. God's in charge. And God would, Cyrus wasn't of Israel. He was a Gentile. But God said, I'm using him. He's going to do my work. And he did. God will use whomever he will. Why? He's boss. He's in charge. So when you share, make sure in spiritual things you're sharing with your Father. With the real body, with his word. How did he say he was going to redeem you or deliver you, rebuild the inhabitable place? He didn't say anything about flying you away anywhere. Why would you listen to junk instead of Father's word? I guess some people just get tingly about it and enjoy it. Okay? So it is. But be very careful, my friend, who you share with. In especially in these end times, in this generation of the fig tree. Do you know how God shared with you chapter 2, the great book of Hebrews, New Testament? How that he shares with us is amazing. It just takes your breath. It enriches your love toward him, the way he shares with us. Chapter 2 of the great book of Hebrews, verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Now that sharing, friend, that is real sharing. You are mankind, right? Well, he did this for you because he wanted to share. Because you know what? We're not perfect like he was to pay that price. So he shared with you. When God said, coming out the gate, let us create man in our image, he created himself in Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, the name. Verse 10, for it became him, it was just like him in his love and understanding, for whom all are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory. Now that's real fellowship. To make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. To be the pioneer of their salvation. You want to be saved? The true Christ does it, not the fake. The fake's coming first, friend. You want to be fortified with knowledge and wisdom and understanding. And serve God, not Satan. Verse 11, for both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. That's sharing. That's togetherness. That's oneness. That's one body. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, to call them his own, to call them family. Do you understand that Jesus called you family and he did this for you so that you could have salvation on repentance? Sounds like I'm giving a good old salvation message. I'm telling you about how he loves you that he shared. Verse 12, saying, this is what he said, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church, will I sing praise unto thee. Those were part of his words on the cross in Psalms 22:22. Verse 13, and again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me, hath given me, that's sharing, friend, that's oneness, That's taking a part. This is why we came here, verse 14. For as much, then, as the children are partakers, that's your Greek word, okay? The word partakers. As much as you are one group, one family, of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. He took part of flesh and blood to share with you that he could do it just like you. That sharing, my friend, that is that Greek word of becoming a part, of partaking. And that word, kainomas, meaning he takes part just like you. He considers himself as a part of, that you're a part of his family, and he wants you to be a part of his family if you believe. And so it is. And through death, he might destroy him that hath the power of death, that is the devil. He came here, he shared that body so that he could destroy the devil who is death. Why? Get him off of our back. It all began in the first earth age. And he's going to get him off of our back forever and ever and ever. How wonderful that will be. And many might say, well, I wish he was off now. Well, kick him off. He came, he shared, and he gave you power and authority to have power over Satan. Don't put up with it. Hey, you put up with it, they'll eat you alive, friend. I mean, what do you do with these little ants that'll get in your sugar? You stomp them. You get rid of them. You get rid of that gets in your way of sharing the Word of God, of sharing the life that Christ brings you. You take authority. Why? You're his child. He gives you that authority. Don't ever be a wimp and a whiner and a crier. I mean, take hold of that authority and exercise it. Command it in his name. And you'll always have that victory. But he will ultimately destroy him. He's already dead. He's a dead man walking, Satan is. At the end of the millennium, he goes into the lake. Verse 15, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. He freed us. Don't ever listen to some little church next door that puts you in bondage because of your sins. When you repented and they're gone, blotted out, and you're a free person in Christ. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. He took on flesh. He shared just like you. So don't ever complain. For he, and hey, you might say, well, he was perfect. Yeah, why? Because he had discipline. Because he was the Son of God. Because he was Emmanuel, God with us. Well, maybe he didn't have pain. He was nailed to the cross. He could cut it. And he showed you how. He has shown you how. Okay? Don't ever forget it. 17. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that sharing, beloved, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people, to free you, to get rid of the past, to blot it out and give you a beautiful fresh start whereby you can be an ambassador in the family and sharing with Almighty God. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to secure them that are tempted. Secure is a legal term. It means guaranteed when you believe. Real quickly, Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, Christ made it, he did this for everyone, and you have to understand his mission, why he taught on three levels, and I want to bring this third level in at this point, because it's an ingrafting. Do you know what an ingrafting is? That's really becoming a part. That's really sharing. That's sharing the mother tree with a different branch that will grow. In other words, we're going to utilize here a good olive tree and wild olives, okay? Grafting in, just like you do pecans here, trees here in America, soft shell into the old Oklahoma natives, all right? Makes a nice soft shell pecan right off of an old native Oklahoma tree. Personally, I like the native better, but got a better flavor. Be that as it may, okay? Verse 13, "For I speak to you Gentiles insomuch as I am apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify in mine office." Acts chapter 9, verse 15, God said, He's my chosen vessel. I sent him to the Gentiles, Israel, and the kings and queens, okay, meaning of the ethnos. 14, "If by any means I may provoke to emulation in there we got it, them which are my flesh, family, sharing, and might save some of them." That is to say, even Israel he's talking about. Emulation he does. 15, "For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead?" In other words, repentance and returning to the true tree. That's what is good about Christianity, is forgiveness. You can always mark a Christian by one that can forgive. Can't forgive? Hey, mark them off. Don't belong. Verse 16, "For if the first fruit be holy," if that first lump is holy, "the lump is also holy, and if the root be holy, so are the branches." When you're tied into that family and when you're sharing and realizing that you're a child of God, that your soul belongs to Him. Ezekiel 18:4, all souls belong to God. You don't get around to volunteering. He's got it, friend. He's got you. And what He does with you, that's His business, but you're the one that determines it by your actions. "And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree were grafted in among them," there's that word, together in, to share, "and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive, boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee." In other words, He can cut you off just like that. If you don't fit the program, if you don't fit the plan, He can shuck you right in just a minute, okay? "Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in," that I could be part of the family. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off. That's people that don't have eyes to see and ears to hear. They just don't want to hear. "And thou standest by faith, be not high-minded, but fear, for God spared not the natural branches. Take heed, lest He also spare not thee." Be a part of the family. Share, yes, but you got to do it His way. Okay. Why? He's God. He's our Father. I'm going to tell you something. You can't put it in better words than that old disciple that Jesus loved, called John. You just can't put feelings and emotions into words like John could, because it came from his heart, came from his mind, in grasping family and how it was. I want you to go to the first epistle of John, not St. John, the first epistle of John, just before Revelation, right after the great book of James. I'm sorry, Peter. And we're going to do chapter 1, and you're going to understand why Jesus loved this man, why he loved everyone, but what I mean is that you couldn't help but feel the goodness and the love of old John, okay? He was right there. He didn't leave the cross even. Jesus had to finally say, "Take my mother and leave," okay? And only then would he go when the others ran. And John would always take things in his mind from the beginning, such as in St. John, he would say, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word is Christ. He was the living Word. The Word became flesh and walked among us for you, so that on repentance You're made clean and ready and a child of God. And that's why God loves you so when you listen to Him. Chapter 1, verse 1, and we're going to conclude with this. And it reads, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes." We saw that living Word in the body of Christ. "Which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the Word of life." We know what the Word of life is. Do you know what life means there? It doesn't mean flesh life. It means eternal life. We know how to tell you how to acquire that eternal life so that you live forever. Okay? Verse 2. "For the life was manifested." He was real, right in front of us. "And we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life forever, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us, made known to us. Word walked with us, taught us." How precious it was, you know, had to be, to sit around and listen to Christ teach firsthand. The Sermon on the Mount. My. But He did that for you, and it's been recorded by these great men like John and the other apostles and Mark and Luke, that you could have that Word. Verse 3, listen carefully. "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship." That's togetherness. That's sharing. "That you also, as an individual, can share with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." That's what sharing is about, my friend. That when you come into the truth, and nothing but the truth, He that came here and died to make this possible for you, don't let somebody change it without saying no. Don't let somebody make movies freehand changing the Word of God without saying blasphemy, without saying no, won't go there, won't do that. I'm a child of God, and Christ was perfect. He had to be perfect to pay the price that we can share and have these beautiful things. So don't be a noodle Christian. A noodle Christian is a noodle that'll bend through any hole or any place it fits to get by. You either stand up and stand for something, or you know what? You don't stand for nothing. And as much as He paid this price to you to share, to be a part, then be somebody. Be a child of God. Act like it. Look like it. And let the world know it. That you share right from the table of the Master through the Son, Emmanuel, God with us, that paid that price, that we have the freedom of religion and a nation under God, because a price has been paid to share with the Master. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Father, for sharing with us. That You would come Yourself, Father, to share what we have done in the flesh, that You Yourself came in the flesh, died on that cross to kill the devil, to destroy the devil, to do away with wickedness, and not only that, but leaving power with us to control our lives, even our eternal life, Father, in the name of that Son. We thank You in Jesus' precious name. Amen, amen, amen.
The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast? Many false teachers would have you believe it will be a tattoo on your forehead or a computer chip implanted under your skin. It is getting late in the game. You need to know what the Mark of the Beast is. As it's written in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, many will be deceived. There is no need for you to be deceived. Christ said in Mark 13:23, "Behold, I have foretold you all things." Jesus indeed told us how not to be deceived, and Pastor Arnold Murray takes you on a step-by-step study of God's Word concerning this critical subject, the Mark of the Beast. The telephone call is free. The CD is free. We don't even ask for the shipping and handling. It is free as well. All you need to do is call 800-643-4645 to request your one-time, one-per-household copy of The Mark of the Beast. You may also request your free CD by mailing your request to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Don't be deceived by Satan.
You can walk from Russia across to Alaska and down certain times of the year. You don't even need a boat because it freezes over. And some of the American Indians came from there. You can tell by looking and observing if you study, if you are a student of that particular field. And look at the Cherokee. A Cherokee chieftain or man of importance wears the same turban and headset as a Persian would from Iran. Looks exactly alike. Those of you that were, in other words, all God's children migrated and came at one time or the other to this nation or wherever their position is. A great friend of mine, Professor Joseph Mahon, wrote a book titled The Sun Kings on the American Indian and some of their traditions. And you will find that their traditions are not that different from the traditions of old through the migrations of people, if you wish to take it further. But God created all peoples, and they're all God's children. Pastor Murray, in Matthew chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus told his disciples, "Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, preach upon the housetops." Did he literally mean on the tops of houses? And would this still apply to us today in the same way? What do you think? If you were to climb up on top of your house and start shouting out the Word of God, people would say, that's a fruitcake, okay? You have, in their day and time, most roofs were flat-topped, okay? And the higher places where you did cry out, it's where the watchman stood. It's where the religious crier cried out from. Why? The elevation. There was no microphones, so you had to take advantage of natural arenas or settings to get the voice to carry. And naturally it carried further from the housetop. Today, you don't have to do that. Your voice will carry by the ether waves, whether it be radio, television, whatever, satellites. We have so many, and Jesus said, when he talked to a large group that was in kind of a natural arena, that the acoustics were just right to carry that voice, he said, greater things than this will you do. Meaning, you're going to reach greater audiences than this. And so we do. Example, here in Gravette, Arkansas, you push a button, basically, and we go around the world just like that because of satellite and our communication system. Rose from Florida, thank you for your comments about the chapel. Can a person take communion without being baptized? Is smoking cigarettes a sin to hell? Thank you, Rose from Florida. Smoking cigarettes is a sin to your health, okay? Smoking cigarettes will not send you to hell. It's whether or not you love the Lord Jesus Christ and believe He is the Son of God. For those that believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, God so loved all of us in this world that He promised they would not perish as long as you believe that He is the Son of God. But cigarette smoke will make you sick. It'll make you ill. It's not good for you. And of course we know that. And if you've smoked for quite some time, nobody has to tell you that. You know it yourself. It is best not to, okay? But hey, been there, done that. It's not an easy thing. Anyone can stop if you let the spirit body take over and tell the flesh to butt out. That means cigarette butts and the rest, okay? Of anything that might harm you. Can a person take communion without being baptized? The qualifications for taking communion are that you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he was worthy to pay that price. Not that you're worthy, but that he was worthy to pay that price. Now, should a person be baptized? Of course, Christ was baptized. He showed us the way. He is our pattern. And you should be baptized if you follow that pattern when the time comes that you could be, okay? You know, many pastors will say cigarettes will send you straight to hell. Don't listen to them. It falls under health laws. This is one of the things that makes me unpopular with them, but I teach truth. And there are different... your help is very important to do God's work, okay? So protect it. Andrea, okay, South Carolina. If a person repents and then sins and repents and then sins over and over and over, will God just turn the person over to Satan? No, not necessarily. How did Jesus answer this question? He was asked, how many times must we forgive? And he said, 7 times 70. That's 490 times a day. Okay. Now, if a person legitimately, truly from their heart has a change of mind and tell God they're sorry, he will forgive them. He means it. That's what he paid that price on the cross. And you know something? It's a good thing he does, because as life goes on and years go by, everybody repeats sin in one form or the other. It may be eating too much. It may be breaking speed limits. It may be losing your temper and blessing someone out in the wrong way. Okay, it could be a lot of things that you need to repent. Okay, that's the beauty of Christianity, is forgiveness. The same way, you know, people will say, well, what if somebody committed adultery? Well, it's not listed as the unpardonable sin. It's painful and it's bad, but it's not the unpardonable sin. And God never said it was, okay? The unpardonable sin is for one of God's elect to refuse the Holy Spirit to speak through them when they're delivered up before the false Christ. Becky from Dallas. Does Christ take the dead and then the living into the air before the Antichrist comes for his 7-year reign? Well, the Antichrist, his reign has been cut down to 5 months. Revelation 9 declares that. Does Christ take the dead? They're already gone. That's what 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, that many people call the rapture theory, that's what it's telling you when you read it as a child should read it. What does it say? Verse 13, 1 Thessalonians 4, 13. I don't want you to be ignorant like the heathen. Isn't that sweet? Don't want you to be ignorant about something like a heathen being. If you believe Christ rose from the dead, I want you to believe that those that sleep or that are dead in him are already risen also. They're with him. Now that's pretty simple. Okay. And to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. The dead are already gone. God is not the God of dead, but of living. Even Satan lives and is with him, all right? He's gonna be blotted out, but it won't happen until after the millennium. So you see, you confuse yourself by not reading like a child would read. You're listening to preachers, okay? You're taking their word for it. Take Christ's word by the teachings of Paul to that letter to Thessalonica, all right? And a second question, why do Matthew and Luke vary in Jesus' genealogy? Thank you very much for your teaching. Becky, you are welcome. The genealogies of Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapter 3 differ because they're separate genealogies. If you will go back and read again, pay attention, Matthew chapter 1 is the genealogy of Joseph, Mary's husband, who had nothing whatsoever to do with the birth of Christ, okay, as far as a natural birth. his genealogy doesn't amount to a hill of beans as far as Christ is concerned, except he adopted him. Now, the genealogy in Luke chapter 3 is by law. In other words, it's a bunch of Joseph's in-laws, because it's Mary's genealogy. And Mary, being the mother of Christ, had a father of Judah and a mother of the Levitical priesthood. And making Mary half Judahite and half Levite, meaning Christ being born of Mary, was inherited the king line as well as the priest line. Therefore, he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, priest of priests, forever and ever. Okay? That's why they're different. Go back. You're going to have to be real careful. The Greek is very specific. When Mary married Joseph in Luke 3, it says, as by law, your wife, Becky, your husband or boyfriend, if you were married, if you are married, and your husband's sister is what? She's not your real sister. She's your sister by law. Okay? So that'll help you understand the scripture there. They were in-laws of Joseph, but they were indeed the bloodline of Jesus Christ. Donna from Pennsylvania. My husband passed away, and I committed sin against him and asked and begged his forgiveness, but he did not forgive me. I asked forgiveness of God after he passed away. Will God erase it from his memory? Of course, he will erase it, period. He blots it out of the book of life, away from you. You're worrying yourself over nothing, okay? And don't worry, your husband in this present thing, he will follow the law of God and forgive. You're just really working yourself overtime. I see that he's one of the ones that even talked you into setting yourself up for that sin anyway. So he has to. So don't worry about it. You're safe. Don't let it interfere with your life, which I'm sure it has. And just forgive yourself. And God has already forgiven you, and so is he. Be happy. Lucille from Iowa. I would like to know a question. Is it all right to be cremated? I was told if I was cremated at resurrection time, God could not find my body. Is this so? Absolutely not. You know, God wrote a book. It's called Ecclesiastes, telling us how to be happy and to understand in flesh bodies. Okay? Tells you how to absolutely have peace of mind in these flesh bodies and to get along with them. That's why it's so important for everyone to understand clearly from beginning to end the book of Ecclesiastes, because you live in flesh. But he makes it very clear that this flesh body, when we're through with it in Ecclesiastes 9, it goes in the grave. It's never remembered anymore. It goes back to dirt, and that's it. Doesn't amount, it is simply things that we have eaten. The flesh is. You have a beautiful spiritual body. It is your real body. In Genesis 6, verses 3 and 6, it grieved God that he'd created man flesh also. Okay? Well, because man had a good spiritual body that didn't get sick, didn't age, didn't wither, didn't get old, you know. And because of Satan's fall and so many of his children falling, he created man flesh also to make their mind up, born innocent to love God or Satan. But you don't have to worry about being cremated. Your documentation is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. To be absent from this flesh body, you're already present with the Lord. Okay? Gone, out of here, in a beautiful body. And this body goes back to dust. Your documentation for that you will find in that beautiful book of Ecclesiastes again. In chapter 12, you know, it's a beautiful chapter, that chapter 12. It says, you know, as years go by and time goes on, Your grinders don't grind as well. That means your old teeth kind of begin to wear down and you don't chew as good. The birds don't sing as loud because you're losing your hearing. And when you get in high places, you kind of feel a little uneasy instead of jumping about. And hear the old, and your desires and passions just kind of say bye-bye. Okay? I mean, it's laid out like the real thing. And then it says, ere the clay pot break, that's this flesh body, and the silver cord part, that means you kick the bucket, you die. Okay. Instantly, your spirit, which is the intellect of your soul, meaning yourself, returns to the Father that gave it. And this flesh body goes back to dust from which it came. You're through with it. Who would want it? They're painful. Yeah, fantastic they are, and God, you know, He gives us fingerprints so we got grip, we can pick up paper, or He put hair on the back of the fingers so if you get in a close place you can jerk your hand back. Many wonderful things about the body, but when you're through with it, you're through with it. You've got a body that doesn't age or get sick, so it's going to go back to dust. However it gets there, it doesn't matter. I know because of finances, many times we have to consider cremation. No problem, okay? Karen from Florida, how can the mark of the beast be only in one's mind when the Holy Bible clearly states that this mark will be either on the forehead, which you say means the mind in the forehead, or in the right hand? Since the mark can be on one's hand, how then is it only in one's mind? Your CD does not address this question. Well, it kind of does if maybe you didn't pay attention, okay? It states very clearly in the manuscripts that in the forehead, what's in your forehead? Your brain. Okay. It's how you think. The mark in your hand means you do, it's a figure of speech. And it means you're doing Satan's work. Seems we went through this in the last lecture. It's the same equivalent in Mark 13 when it says, woe to those that are with child when I return and give suck. It means they've wed the false Christ thinking it was Jesus, and that they're nursing a small baby when your husband's been away 2,000 years. What does that mean? Your husband's been away 2,000 years, he's come home, and you're carrying a suckling baby, and you're nursing his work along. It's speaking spiritually, and it means you are spiritually impregnated with Satan's lies, okay? Now, that's what the scriptures say. Now, let me ask you a question. If they forced you to have 666 tattooed all over your body, would it change your feelings for the Lord? I don't think so. I would hope not. How does God judge? By what's in your mind and heart, okay? That's why God would judge you harshly if you had had your mind switched over and believed in rapture and things like that that bring people to deception. I'm out of time. Hey, I love you all a lot because you enjoy our Father's Word. Most of all, God loves you for it. Make His day, He'll make yours. We're brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Bless God, He always blesses you. Most important, what do? You stay in His Word. Every day in His Word, I mean, is a good day. Even if there's trouble, it's still a good day. You know why? Because Jesus, Yeshua, He is the living Word. Hearing